looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Masters of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
And then when I was in Bible college, one of my professors took a question, and the question was, you know, what's the need of evangelism? God's already planned it out.
Why evangelize if God predestines and things like that? Because he told us to. Plus, we don't understand how God's sovereignty works in all things. We don't know how our prayer affects and works and all that. We don't know. So what we have to do is go witness and evangelize. Paul the Apostle taught this stuff of predestination and election, and he was out witnessing all the time.
Number 5.
Were we all created at the same time or at birth?
Neither. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that we were woven together in the womb. God formed our inward parts there. Verse 139, 13. We can't say that we were formed all at once because that would mean everybody existed in pre-existence somehow. That'd be Mormonism. That doesn't work. I lean towards the idea that we are completely human at conception, and that we are formed in that sense, and that we are developing physically in that sense, continuing on, and the soul and the essence of what we are is complete at conception. That's my position.
Number 4.
Why Jesus never married?
If he'd have gotten married, then he'd have certain requirements under the law in order to provide for his wife and any children. And normally people were married very early, by the end of their teens, and they were required culturally and even biblically, so to speak, to be able to have children and provide. So if he would had gone and gotten married, he would have had to have left his wife in order to do what he had to do around Israel. And that's not to say getting married is bad or having a wife isn't good. I'm not saying that. It's just that wasn't what Christ came to do. He came to die for our sins and needed to be free in order to do that.
Number 3.
Is it possible from a scriptural point of view for those who are appointed to reject their salvation through free will?
Let me give you an example of something. We would teach that regeneration precedes faith logically, not temporally. So if there's a light switch and I turn on the electricity, the light is instantaneously there, but it is the electricity that causes the light, even though it's simultaneous. So it's logically prior. God regenerates us and gives us the ability to freely believe, and we do. It's our free will that we do that. But God changes us so that we're no longer slaves of sin, but we're regenerated insofar then God's work is in us and we can believe. Once we're regenerated, we freely choose God.
Number 2.
What is your concept about God the Mother?
There is no Mother God. There's only one God in all existence, all place, all time.
Not too long ago, group of church who was just casting that idea for me. They've been using like passages that suggest that God has a feminine aspect of it.
Well, when people say that God has feminine aspects, what is a feminine aspect? Is femininity being loving? Well, I love, men love. Femininity is a biological thing. So when they say a feminine quality, wow, I want to know what those qualities are that are exclusively feminine. Now, we know that there's biological structures, unless you're of the ilk that believes in gender fluidity and, you know, going to girls' bathrooms if you're a guy because you identify all this sinfulness. What's a feminine thing? Love, patience, kindness. Well, men are that way too. That's a masculine trait as well. So I have to ask them, what does that mean? They're called NDEs, near-death experiences. And I know that NDEs are possible biblically because of 2 Corinthians 12:2, where Paul says, he knows a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And so he saw things that were too, you know, inexpressible. Now, what do we do about people today? The first one that I ever read that stuck with me years ago was about a man who was shot in the back of the head while driving a motorcycle. He crashed, woke up in a field, and Jesus approached him. And the closer Jesus approached, the worse he felt. And the reason was because his sin was so strong that he could not stand being in the presence of the Lord because he felt so guilty. He said it was incredible. And then Jesus just communicated to him without talking to follow him. And he did, went down to started going down and down and down, and went to a place where there were people in fire and agony. And the man was in incredible fear, he said, to be thrown in. Jesus turned around and took him back up a hill and said, your time's not yet. And the man woke up in the hospital. He's a quadriplegic. And he's the happiest man in the world, he said, because he knows when he dies, he's going to go to heaven. So, you know, these things are real. But we always have to judge the truth by what the Scripture says. Always by what the Word of God says.
And now, the end is near.
The show's over. It's cut.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.